Hey, everybody. My name is April Lovett.
And my name is Daryl Lovett.
We've been together for 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old sweet and sassy little girl, an adorable and smiley baby boy, and our fur child, our dog, Lainey.
That's right. We also work our 9-to-5 jobs together, we teach together, and we co-own The Lovett Company.
That's right, we do so much together, and we wanted to share some of our tips and tricks for living out our 24/7 relationship.
Oh yes, a relationship that is all day, every day.
Plus, we want to share with you how we manage to run our side business alongside full-time jobs, and still find time for kids, chores, and fun. So in this podcast, the Success in Black and White podcast, we'll be talking about working towards success, overcoming failures, and just living our everyday lives.
So get ready. We're going to be bringing to you real talk concepts every week as we share some of our stories, best practices, as well as talk to guests about how they have found success by doing extraordinary things in their everyday lives.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Success in Black and White podcast.
That's right. Welcome back. We're back.
It's been so fun. Like, I've had a blast doing this.
Me too. I guess you're waiting for me to respond to that. No, me too.
I was kind of hoping you would.
No, this has been fun. I've enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, the dynamics of it throughout this entire process has changed. And the feedback and the support that we've gotten from people has been incredible. Mm-hmm. And when we first started this journey, it was more so for us and something for us to do. And now that we're actually impacting people and I'm getting messages and I'm replying back to people and having conversations and engaging on some of our topics and ways that people have used some of the things that I've shared to help them on their journey, I'm like, let's keep doing this. I'm motivated. I'm inspired myself. So I'm very excited about this, and I feel like we just started last week.
I do, too. It's been fun. I enjoy it. And I enjoy talking to you guys. And then just like Daryl said, the feedback that we're getting, and I was able to reach out to a couple groups this past week just to ask about an upcoming episode, because we're gearing up to do our first episode talking about interracial couples. And just the feedback that I received, I can't even, if you guys are already listening, thank you so much. I can't wait to put together all of the information and all of your stories, which are so impactful, so that we can share them.
Absolutely. And what's so crazy is she kind of took the lead on this. And I'm just sitting back, just kind of got my feet crossed and kicked up. And next thing you know, I'm like getting these messages and people are binging me and they want to hear from me and talk to me too about it and get my side of the story. So that was very incredible to hear back from those people and the stories that we've gotten back. It's been rewarding and it's also been eye-opening as well.
So we thank you as listeners. We love you guys, honestly. We want to jump in. Well, I guess we should do life updates like we always do.
Life updates.
Yeah. What are your life updates?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I don't have any like life updates right now, really. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you my life update.
Give me yours and let me think about it for a second.
Okay. Well, it's cold.
Yeah. Right now it's cold.
It's cold. It's Florida. We live in Florida.
Yeah.
And we're in the 30s. It's cold. It's in the 30s.
Yeah.
That is not why I moved to Florida.
Yeah.
Like, I moved to Florida for the warm. So it's, I'm always a little bit disappointed. Like, you would think I've lived here for over a decade and I would be used to it.
I like it like this, though. You know, I like the cold.
Yeah. So. I like the mild. I don't like the cold. I'm kind of one of those people that I have to be in a certain temperature range. If I'm between the temperature range of 70 and 78, I'm perfectly happy. Anything above or below that?
Oh my goodness, that's a little warm. You're talking about 78. That's warm.
No, that's perfect.
Okay.
So anyway.
I guess that's perfect beach weather.
Well, for you, that would be too cold for me on the beach.
Oh my, okay. All right. I mean, I don't really go to the beach and lay out, so.
That's true. I don't really do it anymore. I used to a lot.
Yes, I guess 78 is kind of hot though.
Okay.
I mean, when do you just have your AC set on 78 and riding out?
That's true. That's a good point. I guess it's a little warm. Anyway, well, then my next update is we put up Christmas decor finally, which I'm excited about because last year I was pregnant and miserable and we were going through our whole house buying fiasco, which if you haven't heard that fiasco, it's pretty entertaining and it's episode 5, right? Episode 5.
I think so, yep.
Yeah. So go back and listen to episode 5 if you want to know more about our house buying fiasco. Basically, house buying from hell for us. But I didn't want to put up any tree or anything, and I felt really bad because poor Anna, like,
I know, she was wanted all about a tree and the candy canes.
And I was like, I'm so pregnant and I'm sick and we're moving in like 2 weeks and I don't want to put it up and take it down, and I felt so bad. So this year, we made up for it.
Oh,
so
yes.
We've got Christmas decor. We did Christmas cookies.
It was like Thanksgiving and then
bam,
the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was happy.
Very happy. I was just kind of like, man, already? Like,
I know.
Can we get a week out of Thanksgiving?
No.
Yeah, we didn't. Nope.
No, we didn't. Anyway, okay.
All right, what is this episode about?
So this episode, we are actually talking today about developing resiliency in your life.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Resiliency.
So we're going to talk about resiliency. And I think the most natural place to start is to really talk about what do we mean when we say the word resiliency? Like, what does that mean?
Well, I know that I looked up the actual definition of resiliency. And I think it was like defined as the capacity to recover from difficult situations or being tough. And then it's also the power, I think, the ability to, like, come back to original form or the original position that you were in. So when you're talking about resiliency, that was a definition that I found. But I know that when you talk about resiliency, the way that we do, the way that we kind of explain it is bending with fate. Mm-hmm. And I know that for sure that when we're born, like, we're naturally born resilient people.
Mm-hmm.
And before we had our kids, you know, I used to hear everybody say it, but now I've experienced it myself. But our kids are resilient.
Yeah.
And that's just a natural state that you're born into, resiliency. And I know for sure Anna and Vaughn, like, they are tough. They rebound, they bounce back, they don't hold on to things, their memory. They learn, and if they have any struggles or challenges, they fight through it. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I think that it's so important for us to understand that we're born with that resiliency is because society changes that for us. As we continue to get older and we learn some behaviors and we meet people and we have different experiences, we jeopardize that resiliency that we're naturally born with. And a prime example is, like, when they get sick and we take them to the doctor says, oh, sorry, we can't give them medicine. Like, their body just has to
kind of learn
to be resilient and deal with it. And I'm like, that's crazy, because, you know, if I start to feel bad, I'm like, hey, where the vitamin C? You know, where's the orange juice? I need to go in and get me, you know, some type of medicine to help me with these symptoms. But them, they have to deal with it. They're resilient. They may be a little fussy, but they actually bounce back. And it's kind of almost like it never even happened.
Yeah.
And especially with that, if you've ever experienced it, if you have kids, that, what is that? I don't even know what that sickness is. I call it the green sickness.
The green. Oh.
Yeah, that
the
one.
The stomach virus?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
Man,
they
have that thing for like a day.
I hate
and
that.
And then they come back and like they're all set.
And then they give it to
and
you
and
you
give it to you
for like four
oh, man,
days.
I'm sitting down next to the toilet, got me a towel. Oh, man, I'm out of commission for 4 days.
Yes, that's so, the worst. Yeah, they bounce back fast, though.
Yeah, so we all are born with it, and that's kind of naturally who we are and what we have. But after experiencing some things in life and society and learned behaviors, we kind of lose that a little bit. So I think that kind of gives a overarching definition of what resiliency is and kind of how we see it and some examples of how we see it play out in our lives.
I like that you said that, and I actually looked it up too, of course, like separately from you. But
What definition did you come up with?
I don't have definitions, but I have four different types of resiliency. But I want to ask you something really quick because you said something about society.
Yes.
And my question for you is, do you think that technology has made us a less resilient society?
Is this a trick question?
No, you just gave me a terrible look, though. It's really not. I'm just curious your thought on it.
So, for the people out there, I was not expecting that question, and it was not in my question list. No, but I'll answer it from my perspective. So, I think it's twofold. I think, yes, it has made us less resilient because with technology, there are certain things you don't have to go through. You don't have to experience. And it's a little bit easier for you to find quick solutions and quick resolutions. And you don't have to, you know, experience some of those struggles and go through them and learn how to adapt and to recover and to rebound. And then when I say twofold, it also provides you with information and resources for when you need that during times or the phase of your recovery or your bounce back to where you may need a little push, you may need some knowledge, you may need some inspiration. It's also there to provide that. So I think it's twofold to answer your question. And I know I kind of like copped it out and
no, I think that's great.
But yeah, I think it has hindered us. And I think in the initial states of resiliency, it has. But, you know, towards the when you're rebounding, you're coming back, you need those resources and it gives you access to it immediately. So
that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
And I think about like I feel like older generations, like we hear more now and now that like people are less and less resilient. And to me, I think it does have a lot to do with technology because of just the inventions of, I mean, we've industrialized everything and we're driving cars. Like think about our, maybe not ancestors, but relatives not that long ago that had to like plow the field with an ox.
Let me talk about no ancestors. Don't get me started on ancestors.
No. But you know what I'm saying? Like they had to actually struggle and work hard and they developed that resiliency.
Yeah.
And we don't have to do that anymore because we have machines that do those things for us.
That is true.
Yeah. So, but I like your take on, I think that's smart that yes, technology may hinder, but it also can help on the back end.
That's right.
I like that. So, okay. So when I looked up resiliency, I found the four types of resilience that I thought were kind of cool. So I'll just read you guys the definitions. There's mental resilience, and that is the ability to pay attention and motivate yourself to do something that is difficult. There's emotional resilience, and that's the ability to invoke positive emotions when you need them, like optimism, curiosity, joy. There's social resilience. That's the ability to reach out to others for help when you need it. And that also means that you have to learn to be the kind of person that others are likely to want to support and encourage. And then there's physical resilience, and that's the ability to face physical challenges. And so I thought those were kind of cool because I had, in all of the ways that we have in the past and currently worked with the term resilience, I've never heard it framed in those four contextual definitions.
Yeah. Usually when you hear resiliency or someone being resilient, it's usually like preached on them or like it's pushed on them. You need to be resilient.
Yeah.
Toughen up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's usually how it is. And it's never really broken down or how to toughen up or how to be resilient. It's never really given. It's just like you need to be resilient or, oh, my gosh, this generation is not resilient anymore.
Right. We hear that a lot.
And not often do you hear people follow up with. So these are some tips or steps, ways you can be resilient. And hopefully that's something that we do during this podcast.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about then when are times in our own lives that we've had to be resilient. So what are some examples that you have in your life that you've had to really employ the, I don't want to say act, that's not, but the what is the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I guess the act of resiliency.
Okay.
That wasn't the exact
I know what you asked. So I'm going to answer what I think you asked.
Okay.
And you know, obviously, I'm always telling stories because my life has really been the major determining factor and level of my resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
So, an example for me is definitely, I'm going to take it all the way back to when. So if you don't know, I was born in Georgia. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. And we moved around in Georgia for a little bit. And then we made like a big family move to Florida. And when we moved to Florida, I was going into like the schools system then was very, very different than it is now. It wasn't traditional. So basically, our sixth grade was a school by itself. Our seventh grade was a school by itself. Our eighth and ninth grade was a school by itself. And then high school was 10, 11, and 12. So when we moved to Florida, and if you don't know, Jamal was the very first and only person that I knew and met when we moved to Florida. And when I moved from Georgia, that's where...
And if you want to know about Jamal, you can listen into episode three. When we do the interview with Jamal. Yes. Sorry.
She gave me the like pause. I was like, uh-oh, did I say something
wrong? Just in case, if this is somebody's very first episode,
and they want to know more about Jamal. Okay, yeah, episode three. Yeah. So anyways, I met Jamal and that's who I knew. And when I left Georgia, like that's where a majority of my family is. And I was comfortable. I had cousins. I had family. I had friends. And then moving to Florida, I didn't have any of that. And then what made it even worse is my first experience, I want to say it was like my third or fourth day after starting school when this guy, I was going to call him out by name, but I'm not going to do that, though. He was making it his point to let me know that I guess he was one of the alphas. I didn't think he was the alpha in the school because there were other people that I associated with that I felt like trumped him when it came to like, you know, who was popular. But my third or fourth day at school, we were out and I don't even know if they do recess anymore. I don't know.
That's a whole other episode.
Okay. Anyways, we were out like doing recess or doing free time and I had my back turned to him and I don't know if he was like encouraged or pushed to do this, but he came up behind me and I had no idea that he was even coming up behind me. And he literally grabbed my legs and swept me off my feet by my legs and then kicked dirt in my face and stood over me. And I have no idea why he did that. And everybody else ran over there, you know, sixth grade. And they're like, oh. And, you know, I jumped up and I was just like, first of all, I don't even know why he did this. And then second of all, I'm like, all right, we about to throw down. But then I was just like, well, why am I even fighting this dude? And then if I fight this dude, I've only been in school for 4 days. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to get in trouble. So I just was like, all right. And I kind of got in a defensive stance and I didn't attack him back like I wanted to. But he stood there and looked at me. And he was, I don't even remember what it was that he was saying. And from that moment forward, this dude bullied me or attempted to bully me as much as he could when opportunity presented itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea why. So you want to talk about resiliency. During that time, it was very tough for me to, you know, bounce back because I was always on edge and I only been there. I just moved to Florida. Only knew really one person. And then my fourth day of school, I got this guy that's like picking on me and trying to be resilient and being new to a place and the situation and the conditions. It made it tough for me to be resilient. So when somebody's like, toughen up, be resilient, I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know anybody here. I don't have any friends. This dude's picking on me. I'm trying not to get in trouble at school or at home. And you telling me to toughen up and be resilient.
Yeah. It's probably harder too when you're a child, because Definitely. You're still trying to figure out your own emotions. Yes. And you're trying to figure out your own responses. And I think when you're an adult, I mean, it can still be hard, but it's probably a little bit easier because you know yourself well enough to know how you respond. But when you're a kid, man,
it's tough. It is. Yeah. And that's one of the things, like I said earlier, we're like, oh, be tough.
Yeah.
Like, be resilient. And it's kind of like, but you don't know the conditions. You don't know the situation. And then especially for me, not having any friends, not knowing anybody, not having anybody to go to, and didn't want to go and tell the teacher because I didn't know what that reputation was going to be like, you know. So it was tough.
Yeah, you don't want to be that kid.
Yeah, I know. So after, you know, a couple of weeks and kind of finding my niche, I met a couple of people that were able to support me. And what was so crazy was some of the people that was also friends with this person or associated with this person actually found out like I was cool and you know, we raced and did things like that, and you know, I stood out, and he hated that even more.
Ooh.
But here's the thing though, those guys that found out that I was cool, like they were cool with me, and they would start to intervene, and because I had support and because I knew I had a few of the guys that would back me up, then, you know, my resiliency started to build, my toughness started to build, because I knew that I wasn't alone. I wasn't there by myself, because I thought everybody was on his side. Because when it happened, the, you know, third or fourth day of school, like everybody came around and nobody even knew who I was.
So nobody defended
me. No. They're just like, who is this dude? Like, he's been here for 4 days. He must have did something or said something.
Aww.
Or he doesn't know our way of life.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, y'all tripping out down here in Florida. I'm like, y'all bring this mess to Georgia where me and my family is, and it'll be different. But when you talk about resiliency, though, definitely the whole point of that story was to let you know that the conditions and situations play a tremendous part. And for someone to just tell you to be tough or be resilient, sometimes you have to take that into consideration. What are their conditions? What is their situation? And that was a time that I learned the hard way how to be resilient and how to be tough. And it took me time. And eventually, you know, I found my way. So that's one story. I got plenty of stories, but I want to give you time to say something.
Well, mine are not as much stories as maybe more like life conditions of times that I've had to be resilient. So the first one is, you know, if you listen to episode 1, episode 5, maybe. I'm trying to think of the ones that we've talked about. The fact that I moved across the country.
Oh, yeah.
When I was 19.
Just go back and listen to all of them.
Just go back and listen to all of them, and you'll feel fine where we talk about it.
Yeah, you'll find it.
But that was definitely a time. I was 19 years old. I was 1 year in college, and I was like, I can't live in Kansas anymore, because I grew up in Colorado, and I went to Kansas for a year, and I was done. And so I called my parents, and who lived in Colorado, and said, I'm moving to Florida, which I'm sure for them was like, oh, my gosh. Like, sure, I'm an adult, but I'm a young adult, and, you know, you're still a kid when you're 19. And so I moved to Florida. And so that took a lot of I had to learn how to be resilient, which we'll get into our how did we learn how to do that and what are some of our strategies. But that's one condition. The second condition, and I think this is for probably a lot of people out there, but is when relationships that we've been in, whether they're family members or significant others, or even friendships, when they fail or fall out. And you have to learn how to be resilient and bounce back from that. Daryl and I met each other when we were in our very late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm. Why you put my age out there like that?
We're old.
So let me tell you something. I'm going off topic real quick, but I'm resilient, though, so I'm going to bounce back from her putting my age out there like that.
Bend with fate, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to bend with fate, all right. But before I do that, though, I'm about to do this. Don't uh-oh me. So what's so crazy is she'd be quick to throw the ages and stuff out there. But in previous episodes, she forgot how old she was.
I did.
She's talking about something. Ooh, how old am I? I'm 20. Oh, yeah, I'm 25 still. And I'm like, you tripping. Me throwing that out there. No, seriously, though. I'm blessed.
Oh, we're both blessed.
Yes. So what were you going?
So anyway,
we were in our late 20s and 30s. my 30s. Knowing good as well, I was the one in the 30s.
Oh, I didn't say that, though. You just outed yourself.
Nah,
oh.
Come on now.
Okay, so anyway, my whole point was that we've had prior relationships. And for me specifically, I've had relationships that have failed. And for lady or men or women out there, I was married before and divorced. And that was a relationship that failed for me. And so I had to learn how to bounce back and be resilient from that so I could come back and give my best self to my partner and my husband now. So that's another one. And then my last one, and this is probably the one that has happened to me most often. And I don't know if this happens to a lot of people. Maybe it does in other organizations, but I haven't seen it happen to a lot of people in the organization we're in. But I've had a lot of job role changes in my life. And that has just taken resiliency to ensure that, you know, organizational change, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's because of positive things or negative things, what if it's any kind of organizational or work change, you have to learn to be resilient. Because let's be honest, work and career is a huge percentage of the time that we spend in our lives. And so we have to learn to be happy and to really work with changes that happen and be resilient so that we can be healthy while we're working.
Absolutely. And while you're on that, what really just popped into my head is rejection. So if you don't know, she got a job that I was supposed to have. Episode one. No, but seriously, though, and there have been times where I have applied for certain jobs or have, you know, put myself in position for certain opportunities and have been rejected and a lot. And to know that you have the qualifications, the capabilities, you've met the right people, you've done the right things, and you've done them the right way, and to be rejected, sometimes that can knock you down, and that can, you know, make you want to shut down to any other possibilities.
Yeah.
And having the resiliency to bounce back from those, I think, is just important when you're talking about work. And that's what definitely popped up into my mind is that, wow, she's talking about all the different roles that she's had. And I'm like, dang, all the opportunities that I've sought after and been rejected. And I still fight for them to this day because I know I'm capable. I know I'm qualified. I know my experiences and things. But rejection is just as important when you're talking about being resilient and some of the things that can knock you down.
Yeah. Yeah, agree. And I went through a period of that as well. After getting my master's degree, I applied to, I think, 29 jobs.
You too?
Yeah. And I interviewed with, I probably phone interviewed with like 20 of those jobs because I was qualified.
That's crazy because I actually made it, you know, in for in-person interviews.
I was going to say, I went in person to probably 10 of those. And yeah. I was always the second candidate. They would call me and say, there's just one person better than you.
Wow.
Like, that's supposed to make you feel better?
I know. Sometimes I didn't even get that call.
Oh, no.
Like, getting that call and knowing that I was number two, that would make me at least, well, I'm an optimistic person. So I'd have been like, I'm right there. The next one, I'm going to be number one. But sometimes I didn't even get that call after being in person. So I'm like, dang, they must have brought in like 5 or 6 people. And I was like number four and they only called the top three. Being optimistic, but no, yeah, I got you.
So, yeah, so for me, those are major moves. For me, relationship fails for me, and just work, and not necessarily work fails, but just when changes happen at work, it's going to require resiliency, whether the change is good or bad. It always requires resiliency. So,
can I tell one more story real quick?
Yeah.
So, for people that don't know me or haven't heard this before, because I don't think we mentioned this, what I'm about to say, in a previous podcast. But for me to get into grad school, I had to take the GRE 3 times. You want to talk about resiliency? Oh, my goodness. Not only resiliency, but
perseverance.
Perseverance.
Lordy.
And this is where the resilient part came in at. Excuse me. When you're talking about how much money I had to pay. So I was working to get paid to pay to take these tests to get into grad school, to get my master's, to what people said I needed to do mm-hmm. in order to make more money.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And then to have to take it three times.
Oh, Lord.
And not only that, to miss your goals by, like, points.
Like, oh, like
yeah,
small
like
fractions.
Small fractions. Mm. Yeah. So you're talking about resilient when you're talking about work and then yeah. you're talking about school and things like that. Yeah, I had to take my GRE three times.
Man alive.
Yeah. And then I had to change my objectives, too, because the first time I took it and I was taking it the first and second time, it was just to get into grad school. And I was like, dang, I can't even pass or I'm sorry, not pass, get a high enough score to get into grad school. And then once I did, and they were like, oh, well, guess what? You could have went to grad school for free if you would have gotten this score. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
All right.
Oh, so you took it again.
I took it again. I had to be resilient because mm-hmm. at first I was just kind of complacent. I was like, whoo, I made it. And then they said, you can go to school for free or an assistantship. And I was like, dang. So I had to buck up. And I was like,
again.
All right, time to do it again.
Good for you.
You want to talk about resiliency, though, like studying for that and preparing for that. I hate standardized tests.
So do I.
But, yeah, I just wanted to share that when you're talking about being resilient because that's something that I hated every second of. But, like, yeah.
Well, so let's then talk about how we talk about resiliency and we've had to be resilient.
That was a good transitional story, right?
Yes, it was great.
Yeah.
Because we want to talk about then how did we develop resiliency? So how in your life have you developed resiliency?
I think that some of my life experiences and obviously over time, I've had some experiences, I've had some opportunities to meet people that have helped me with that. Just self-educating myself and just kind of reading up on things and with the combination of the right people, the right knowledge, and just life experiences. That's kind of how I've learned to be resilient in different situations. I think that some of the most important things that I have learned throughout all of those is that, you know, my circle, my support system matters the most. And then second, you know, I gave the definition earlier and I think it was defined as like recovering quickly. Well, sometimes that's not the best thing depending on the condition or situation. So understanding that quickly is based on your time frame. So making sure that you understand that. And then third, I think, is this example that I have. So, you know, when you talk about champions, most of the time people are like, oh, yeah. And they identify and they notice who the champions are. And sometimes or either like in a documentary or something, it'll come out like this person was not made a champion by themselves, you know, and it took support team and it took staff and it took this person and that person. And then also the person who was identified as a champion had to put in the work themselves. So it's the same way with being resilient. Like, it's just not something you just go out there and you just do by yourself. And you're just like, hey, here's my resilient championship belt. I did this all by myself. And that's why I said it's very important to know who your support team is, to know who's out there, who got your back. And then also what it takes on your behalf for you to be resilient. So when you're talking about how it's developed, I think all those are important. And that's kind of my approach to it.
So if we are talking about how we developed resiliency, I like a lot of what you said about support systems and the time should be your own. When you think about how you're coping with certain things that have happened in your life. I really like that. I have a couple of my own.
Go for it.
As always. So ways that I feel like I've developed resiliency in my life is there's a couple different ways and some of them are almost oxymorons of each other. But the first is just to live through the moment and to work on developing a positive outlook regardless of the situation, which can be hard sometimes because sometimes you just don't see the you might not see the end in sight. You might not see the final outcome. You might not see how what good could come from the situation that you're in. But no matter what, I've always tried to think of like, okay, this is not going to last forever. Like this situation, the current circumstances won't last forever. And I know that on the other side, my life will continue. And so that's an approach that I've taken. The second thing for me is faith, and we haven't done our talk on spirituality and faith yet, although we have that planned for a little bit later. But for me, that's a really important part because kind of going back to that is the understanding that the circumstances I'm going through, for me, are all happening for a reason. And that's incredibly important for me to think through if I'm going through major changes in my life, and maybe they are self-created changes, and maybe they're changes that happen to me that I don't have control of. But understanding that they're happening to me for a reason, because on the other side is going to be something that I needed in my life that I just couldn't see at the time because I don't have that foresight. But for me, God has that foresight. And so he just understanding and having that faith that he is working for my good in whatever changes come my way.
Amen.
Amen. The third thing that I've done, and this is probably goes against everything that a psychologist or a therapist would tell you to do, but is escape. And I've had a couple incidences where I just felt the need to escape the situation, and it's actually been the best thing for me. The first was moving from Colorado and leaving and going 1,000 miles away, and that was the impetus that changed the trajectory of my life. Like, I would have had a very different life, obviously, if I would have stayed there. And so escaping some of those situations would maybe not always be what somebody would recommend. Like, a lot of times we recommend stick it out, you know, learn to tough it out and learn to have grit, and that's good and we need to do that. But there are some situations that you do just need to escape from. And then the last one is to just acknowledge fear, because with change, whether it's good change or bad change, there's always going to be an element of fear. And if you acknowledge it, then you're better able to deal with fear. I've always been better able to deal with the fear and to move past that fear and to kind of rationalize it, because fear is a very emotional based response. But when you're able to acknowledge it, it moves from being an emotional-based response to being more of a response that you can rationalize and understand and address the elements of fear so that you know, like, okay, look, I'm going to have this change in my job role. That could mean that I'm getting a new boss. Well, what if my new boss doesn't like me? That's an element of fear that you might have. But if you can rationalize that to think like, okay, I don't even know this person yet, and so we need to work together before I can even establish that thought in my mind, it helps eliminate that fear, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So those are four of the ways that I've kind of worked on and been able to develop my own resiliency. But we also have more tips for our listeners on how to become resilient.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing that I would recommend as a tip is to, one, know yourself. I think that's very important, to know yourself and to know how you respond to certain situations, how you respond in certain conditions. And then knowing your situation, when you're talking about being in a stressful state or being in a situation that you're going to need to bounce back from, or you're going to need that resiliency. Knowing the situation in and out, because that will help you better position yourself. And then know your support system. So I guess those would be the three no's: know yourself, know your situation, and know your support system. And that could be people, that could be resources, that could be anything that you consider as support for you. So that would be my first one, I guess, the three no's. What do you have?
So my first one, if we're going to go back and forth, is kind of similar a little bit on the same lines, but it's to understand how much control of the situation you actually have. Because sometimes we may have a lot of control of the situation, and sometimes we may have zero control of the situation.
Absolutely.
And the reality is that, especially if your situation, like going back to failed relationships, the reality is that you can never change somebody else, ever, ever. It's just not possible. And so, but you can change yourself.
That's right.
And you can control yourself. You are the only person you have control of. So regardless if you have control of that situation or not, just know that you can't control anybody else, but you can control how you respond to a situation.
I think that another thing, and you mentioned this earlier when you were talking about how you develop resiliency. I think acknowledging your struggles, your challenges, your issues, your circumstances, but not only acknowledging them, accepting them and acknowledging them for what they are. I know for me and in my past, I used to always try to justify everything. And I'm like, dang it, like I'm in this situation, but you know, it's because of this or it's because of that, as opposed to saying I'm in this situation and this is the situation that I'm in and I acknowledge it and I accept it. And what am I going to do about it, as opposed to saying, or as opposed to thinking, oh, how did I get into this situation or what caused this or who caused this? I'm acknowledging it for what it is and accepting it for what it is, and then stop right there and then move towards, okay, what's your next step? What's your next move? So acknowledging the situation, circumstance as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would say my second is to, and I mentioned this already with how I deal with it, with faith, but to dive more into spirituality. And for me, that's the big man upstairs. And again, we'll talk more about spirituality in a separate episode. But no matter what you choose to believe, to understand that spirituality is an important part, like to just really know that philosophically, you need to have a philosophical perspective of your life in order to best understand that everything happens for a reason. And so no matter what religion or spirituality you subscribe to, it's going to be better to have a spiritual and philosophical viewpoint than to not have any at all. And so that's just, that's my two cents into, I would dive more into spirituality to really understand philosophically and to have that background and that faith and just that hope that comes with spirituality and having your faith grounded in something that's not just you.
Yep, that's good. I think that another very important tip to become more resilient is don't rush yourself. If you're not ready to make a move and to even be resilient or to toughen it out, don't rush yourself. One of the things that people will do is try to force it upon you, force resiliency upon you, and force you to do it in what they feel like is the appropriate time or at the appropriate time. Be resilient. Be tough. Keep pushing. Don't stop. Sometimes you might need to stop because you're rushing yourself and you're not in a place or at a time to where you're ready to move forward or you're ready to be resilient. So if you're not ready, do it at your own pace and at your own time. Don't rush yourself.
That's a good one. My next one is to be flexible and adaptable, but with the right attitude. And so when circumstances come your way, well, and this has served me the best in job role changes, is just to be flexible and adaptable and be willing to do the work in a different capacity, but with the right attitude, because I found that the times that I've gone in and like, okay, I'm open to doing this, but my attitude was like, I really don't want to do this, I have a terrible job experience. And so I have to straighten up my attitude so that I can have a better experience, because like I said before, you control yourself, and you're the only one who has control of yourself and the way you're responding to a situation. So for me, it's just be flexible and adaptable, but make sure that you're doing it with the right attitude when changes come your way.
Lean into your vulnerability.
Ooh, you went there.
That's right. Ooh. Lean into your vulnerability.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? I can tell you, from my past, being vulnerable is not something that was encouraged. Be tough, man up, buck up. That's what was taught. That's what was pushed on me. And not saying only by my parents, by my cousins, by my friends. Those were the expectations. As a man, you need to buck up. You need to toughen up. And basically what that was telling me is, you can't be vulnerable. When you're talking about being resilient, you're talking about recovering, and you're talking about bouncing back, one of the most important things is to lean into that vulnerability. and accept it for what it is, and then you can move forward. Mm-hmm. But if you don't lean into that vulnerability, you're fighting two uphill battles at the same time of trying not to be vulnerable and trying to be resilient and bounce back.
Mm.
So lean into that vulnerability, accept it for what it is, know that it's okay and it's a part of the process, and then you can move forward.
Wow. I almost feel like that was the mic drop of the recommendations. Like, I almost
boom.
I have one more and I almost don't want to say it.
Share it.
Okay. I got one more. My last one, my last recommendation, honestly, is to exercise. And for those of you who have been listening to us since the beginning, then you know that we both have health and wellness backgrounds, that we teach a class in leadership and well-being, and exercise is one of our core principles and core values. And exercise works with resiliency, and we know this. This is research.
Research.
Exercise works to help build resiliency almost in the same way in episode 2 when I talked about stress inoculation, and this concept that exercise helps induce a stress state in your body so that your body becomes accustomed to stress and you're better able to deal with unexpected stressors. It's the same way with resiliency and grit. And the fact that you are striving to reach for short-term and long-term goals when you're exercising. So a short-term exercise goal would be, I'm going to complete a run without stopping today. And you complete that run on that particular day, whether it's a 10-minute run or a 20-minute run, and you don't stop. And you completed your short-term goal. And that helps you build that grit and resiliency because you're pushing through physical pain to do that. And you're also meeting your goal. And then it helps you with long-term goals. Say you want to lose 20 pounds. And so in 6 months, you're able to lose 20 pounds because you stick with a routine. That takes resiliency, and that helps you build your resiliency. Every time you go into the gym for a session, you're building more and more and more upon that resiliency. So physical activity and exercise is one of the best and probably the easiest ways to help build your capacity for physical, mental, emotional resiliency.
That sounded like the mic drop to me. Oh, she came right back. Boom.
Boom.
No, but one of the things that we really wanted to do today was we didn't want to preach at you and tell you to be more resilient, toughen up, and then not give you ways or tips to help you be more resilient. And one of the things that I practice now is if there's a situation to where I know I need to encourage and motivate someone to be a little more resilient, my approach is not to tell them or encourage them to be resilient, but offer or recommend ways and tips that they can be resilient. And then I step into the gap and try to figure out what is my role in helping them be resilient. And by doing that, that has helped me tremendously with my own resiliency of knowing what I need. So that's what we wanted to do. We want to kind of share some tips, give you some examples of ways that we have experienced times in our lives where we had to be resilient. And then hopefully it helps you if you're in a place to where you want to build your resiliency a little while, or if you're in a place later in the future, you can kind of go back and use some of these tips.
I hope that this was beneficial to you. And I just want to remind people that we do, when Daryl says, you know, that he steps into that gap, that's because we actually both offer this as we are coaches.
Yep.
And we do this, we're personal and professional coaches. And if you go to our other website, we have the successinblackandwhite.com, which is our podcast website. But we also have our company website, which is theloveitco.com.
Yep.
And if you go check us out there, we do offer coaching. We offer a lot of leadership. We do consulting. We do trainings and stuff. But we also offer coaching because that's a lot of our background is leadership and health and wellness. And so if that's something that you are interested in, check out our services. It's not the reason that we do the podcast.
Not at all.
No, but it is something that we do offer. So if you're curious, check out the website.
Yep. So
that's
I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. So if you feel like you need to improve or build your resiliency, hit us up.
Yeah.
If not us, you know, find somebody that's a part of your support system or that could be a part of your team that can help you.
Yeah.
And focus on ways that you can be resilient as opposed to just being resilient.
Yeah. Strategy.
Yeah, strategies.
Key.
Yeah, I think that's very
Always.
Important. So,
yep.
All right. Until the next time.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe to the Success in Black and White podcast. You'll get notified every time a new episode is posted, which is every Tuesday.
If you loved this episode, help us spread the love. Rate and leave a review on our iTunes podcast episode. Also, share that you listen on social media and tag us on your posts. My social media handle is I am Daryl Lovett on all social media platforms.
And mine is April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms as well. Thanks for listening.
Oh my gosh, you sound like Keith Sweat.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, did it record?
Yeah.